We are back, guys, and we are live. So welcome into season two, the live stream premiere of the Bonus Point Podcast for 2021, brought to you by Macro Butter, Whale Bird Kombucha, and OsteoStrong LA. My name is TJ Olsen, and super excited to be back behind a microphone again. Before we get stuck into the podcast today, I do want to say thank you to all our guests, sponsors, and most importantly, our listeners for a very successful season one. This little passion project of mine has grown so much in front of our eyes in the course of a year, and I'm very grateful to be back for another year. Another two people who deserve my thanks are the two guys who provided some great analysis and obviously great banter during season one. My two regular guest analysts, Tavita Halafia, aka Novel Capote, and James Tesserero. Welcome back, boys, for season two. How are we doing?
Thank you for having us. I'm very well, thank you.
A respectful start to the new series.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. Are you trying to throw people off, like doing that, like respectful? Thank you very much.
I've become a Buddhist. I am now at peace with myself and the world.
All right, we've already started off with enough crap. Okay, well, so I want to do a little recap because it feels like a little bit like deja vu for me. So when we recorded last year, James was in California and Hulla was back in Australia. Now the roles are reversed with Hulla now living in Hollywood and James, you're back in Sydney. So Hulla, let's start with you first. What was that whole transition period like to get back to LA?
Bro, that was a hassle, to be honest with you. When I left, there was definitely a lot of not knowing what's going to happen. But yeah, man, God prevailed, got me back here. So I'm happy that I'm healthy. And I'm away from people that could give me any sort of diseases. I mean, COVID.
we'll just lump those all into one. And James, some congratulations for you are in order. As a lot has changed with you over the past, especially in the few days. But what's been like heading into Sydney? Just with everything, obviously Australia's been dealing with COVID quite well, but you're just still living the life. How's it going?
Mate, things are good down here. I survived 2 weeks of hotel quarantine and got through that right. I went directly over to Perth, which hasn't had a COVID case for 10 months. And so it was kind of a bit bizarre to travel from the States and California to Perth, which is this little isolated bubble where there's zero COVID and zero kind of evidence of COVID. So they don't know that there's a global pandemic. It's just
business. How good.
Yeah. So, mate, enjoying it back in Sydney now. And things in Sydney are good too. And the rugby season here is just starting to ramp up. So happy days.
I will say, though, I'm just going to give a little quick shout out to my mum. She told me a couple of days ago that she's very mad that you didn't hit her up on when you're in Brisbane, because she was like, I wanted to be his sober driver. I wanted to make sure he got home safe. I wanted to meet him. Shout out,
you know what? She's a great sober driver. Can I just say, I want to throw that one out there. She's the MVP, you know? You're never too old for a sober mum driver, okay? I don't care what anyone says.
It was out of respect for her that I didn't contact her on Super Bowl afternoon.
What a great text message chain that was.
Yeah. that was good. Yeah, I want at least $100 on that one. So shout out the Bucks and Tom Brady. But even though we're not on the same continent, I'm super excited to get stuck into talking about rugby. And our first topic is Major League Rugby here in the US. We all know there was no official winner of the 2020 season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But the last few months have been very entertaining watching teams announce various players and coach signings and a bunch of other stuff. But with that in mind, we will welcome in our regular MLR analysts, Cam and Walker Tice from the Rugby Index. Super excited to have these guys on the show. Welcome back, guys. Happy New Year. How are we doing?
It's good to be back.
Ready to rock and roll.
Say, hey, kids.
There we go.
Cam was in, then he was out, then he was back.
What?
We in, boys? Yeah, there we go. Okay, so we're going to have plenty of time to talk during the season, to talk about specific players, coaches, and talk about the big news coming out of the league, various things like the Dallas Jackals. Oh man, that was a crazy story for a month. But I just want to focus on who are your favorites with a new segment I like to call 3-2-1. So as many people know, when you're a coach in rugby, you give out a 3-2-1 after a match for your players' performances. It's quite common, but we tweaked it a little bit, and this segment is going to focus on evaluating who our three favorite teams are in the MLR and why. So because You guys are the experts, Cam and Walker. I'm going to let you guys go first and have a quick chat, and then I'll go, and then James and Huller will get around to round it off. So, Cam, let's get you to go first. Who are your three favorites this season?
That's a high praise. So I hope we live up to expectations.
Do not let us down. Please. Yeah,
talk about pressure. Well, I will tweak it as well, as I tend to do. I've actually got an honorable mention, somebody who I – or a team that I had in my top three, but I dropped when we first started the discussion. I had Toronto in my top three, but with their move to Atlanta, I dropped them out. I just don't think they're going to be able to perform like they would, not having that home field advantage they would, you know, being able to play up north at home for the season. I don't know if they'll be able to get back later on, but – we'll go with the presumption that they won't, and I think that's a pretty huge disadvantage, especially being the only Canadian team. But number three, and I think this might surprise some people, I have Seattle, and the big reason is they're going to have Ben Sima, their fly halfback. Last year they had one of the Stoneola brothers, I can't remember which, playing fly half while Ben was on injury, and it was pretty obvious. He's the linchpin of their offense, defense. He's the linchpin of the whole team. And without his kicking, it was pretty obvious that they were off script and out of their own game plan. And with him back, I think they're going to be back to their regular form of being a contender. Number two, I have San Diego. They probably have the most firepower of any team with the additions of Rob Shaw and Cecil Africa. Their entire back line, any guy who touches the ball can score with ball in hand. And they probably have the best back row offensively with Rob Shaw, Sam Wunching, and Tavita Tamiilau. Tavita, I think you might agree with that one. And number one, I think this might surprise some people as well. I think it's probably one of the biggest boomer bust teams, but I think they have the highest ceiling of any club in the MLR this year, and that's Austin, mostly because I surprised myself with that own pick, to be honest. But when I kind of just started digesting all of it, they have depth. I think they have the best depth next to Toronto at every single position. They have the most versatility of any team. They can go big. They can go small. They have the guys to play fastball, slow ball. You know, they will be a matchup problem in the fact that they can match up with anybody or play to a team's weaknesses whenever they need to. And they've got guys that are young, up-and-coming stars that are looking to be, you know, will break out into the stars of the league, and other guys that are not necessarily on the twilight of the career, but they're established veterans that are closer to household names. But I think they, if they hit their ceiling, they'll walk away with the Shield this year.
Damn, my picks, I went in a completely different direction, but okay, all right. I love the picks. As soon as you said them, I was like, man, yeah, I kind of forgot about those guys. Yeah, no, definitely. No, those sound really good. Good stuff. All right, Walker, you're up next. Who you got?
I'll follow suit, and I hadn't planned on doing an honorable mention, but I do like the idea of it. And Nola Gold is probably my honorable mention. They have a lot of continuity on their team. They've been able to retain a lot of young, talented players. Malcolm May comes to mind, and a guy that I think has really been hindered, obviously been hindered by injury the last couple of seasons, but at a loose forward position can really excel and probably be another game breaker for them. Devin Short and the addition of him, I think, really amplifies their loose forwards. And with the addition the retention of Cam Dolan, they've got a really good loose forward group and have always been pretty solid in the tight five and had some dynamic back play. I think the addition again of JP Duplessis is really going to take them to that next level. So I really struggled to not have them in my top three, but they're certainly honorable mention. Number three comes in.
Rob Hammerschmidt is really going to like that one. Rob Hammerschmidt's in there going, yeah, good pick.
I think
he's
already in Walker's DMs right now.
I'm a man of the people. Yeah, I'm a man of the people, I suppose. My number three is Rooney. And Dylan Fawcett, in my opinion, is the best hooker in the league, whether it's defensively or offensively. Ball in hand is a very dynamic runner. They've got probably the best lock pairing in rugby right or in MLR right now, in Brakely and Savetta. And while Brakely can kind of bounce in and out of that lock position or a loose forward position, having both of them as line out threats and just the motor that Brakely has, I think that they're going to have a really awesome season yet again. They were kind of hit or miss in 2020, and there were some games where they were really on and they looked like a team that could just run away with the season. And then there was maybe a game, and for some reason I thought it was against maybe Old Glory, where it looked out of sorts. But at face value and looking at the roster and depth, I really like their team. And then number one, it's hard to not go with them, but San Diego Legion and just the depth of the team that they have. I jumped from 3 to 1. Number two for me is Austin Gilgronis. Numbers are hard, guys. Come on.
you're just so excited. You're just sitting there just going, no, I just want to get straight to one.
I play rugby. I don't count rugby. We can't do numbers.
Yeah. Well, I play rugby. I don't count.
It's simple. Yeah. Hey, the coaches determine the numbers. You don't need to worry about them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the managers stick to the administrative stuff. So yeah, you just pawn it all off to them. So yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah.
I live by the phrase of strong back, weak mind. And my days in the front row really continue to amplify that. But number two, Austin Gilgronis. And I think what Cam said is spot on. They've managed to add a lot of talent. Bryce Campbell obviously is going to be probably one of the best inside centers, could play outside as well, just depending on how they want to line up. Their Will Maggie as a 10 or 15 can kind of bounce back and forth. I think they've got some really athletic wings, a little bit more raw in their rugby skills, but as far as just being a dynamic playmaker, ball in hand, get out on the wing and see what happens. And then I'm really interested to see what happens with Christian Osberg, a guy that had been playing overseas. At one point was really kind of highly touted by the U.S. men's national team. And I think he got his first debut at 19, 20 years old, and a guy that has all the talent in the world. And I presume coming back to his home state of Texas is really going to enable him to just continue his growth and success. And then the complement of that, and I think is going to be probably the ultimate lock pairing with him, whether it's Sebastian. And I'm remiss of the last name, but they added another lock there. And then Cam Dotson, a draftee of theirs, is a guy that I think has a really, really high ceiling. Maybe a little bit raw in his skill set, but from sheer athleticism and the ability to bounce, whether it's maybe in that 4 or 5 spot, even out to 6, or if we really feel like getting crazy, back to number 8. And so I think, to Cam's point, the versatility that they have is really going to make them just have the longevity for the season, because of any season, if you have a couple of guys get COVID, a couple of guys, you know, with injuries as they traditionally happen, that flexibility and versatility is going to do really well for them. And then, as I already mentioned, San Diego jumps up to my number one. They have so much talent that I don't see another team on paper, at least, being better than them. And they've retained most of it. I was surprised that they let JP Duplessis leave. But you still look up and down their roster. They have so much talent. Cam pointed the same thing out. Their back row is the best in MLR, and I don't think there's any contention to that. So I think it's theirs to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with those picks. Like, it's – yeah, okay. You guys have screwed me on this one. But all right, honorable mention. Yeah, I know. You guys just threw me under the bus.
Make this hard on you.
Yeah, you definitely done that. Okay. So honorable mention, I'm gonna stick with it. My honorable mention is San Diego. So I'm not picking them 1, 2, or 3. I do really enjoy them, but I do think a lot of the influxes into their team with some veterans, some new guys, I think it's going to take them a little bit of time to get everything going. That's just my thought process. I could be 100% wrong, and then they could just turn out and be like, yeah, number ones. Yeah, we're good. But I think that it's going to take them a little bit of a time to get their wheels going. And then I think by the time they do that, it'll be too late. I do hope to see them in the top 4, but we'll see. So for my top 3, I feel like I'm being hulla because it's going to be like very controversial. A lot of people are going to hear this.
Hey,
and go,
come on. Anyone that's listening into this for the first time is going to think I'm some type of way, like an a-hole. And they're right. But, you know, at least give me the chance to say something. Don't just come my way with that heat. You know what I mean?
It's a disclaimer. I have to. But yeah, okay. For my number three, I'm going to take New York. So Cam and Walker, just Walker. I think Walker spoke about New York. They obviously have a lot of talent around their roster, but not only do they have that, they've also got some size with the likes of Samu Tawake, who's a former Mitre 10 Cup player, and they also signed a former World Cup winner and All Blacks legend in Andy Ellis. So I think with me, I don't care if Andy Ellis is 50. And if he's playing, if he's on your team, you've got a shot. Like I've always said that. So that's just me. When it comes to Andy Ellis, I think he's just God. He'll bring a lot of experience and leadership towards this team. I don't care if he's only here for one season, he'll make the league better. So my next one is another controversial pick. I don't think anybody's going to pick this one, but the New England Free Jacks. So not only did they sign one of my good mates and one of Huller's good mates, Seth Farsi, who is a super rugby player. He's got a Mitre 10 Cup background. They also signed guys like Dougie.
They also played super rugby. Good prop.
Yeah. So they also signed guys like Dougie Fife, Jack Ram, Harry Barlow, a lot of great talent. And I think there'll be some kind of underdogs, but I think they'll make a pretty big splash. So that's just my opinion. I don't think anybody's ever going to agree with me, like I said, but we'll go from there. But my number one pick, it was pretty easy because it's right in my backyard and it's the LA Giltinis. So I think it's going to definitely, I'm controversial all the way around, but a lot of people don't agree with their marketing strategy, but you look at their roster from top down, not even just the players. You've got a great GM in Adam Fryer. You've got great coaches in DC and Hoyles, Kev Battle and Arenie IE in the support staff. And I haven't even spoken about the bloody players yet. You've got Billy Meeks. You've got Charlie Abel. You've got Angus Cottrell, the Smith brothers, the McNulty brothers. I mean, it's going to be a brand new team. And I've been hearing mixed things coming out of camps. Like a lot of people are saying they're doing really well. Some people say they're struggling with the distance apart when they've come into camp, trying to get the wheels churning. But I think with local talent they've added with like the likes of Murphy and Christian, you put the rosters side by side and some people may argue that, yep, San Diego's got a good roster. Rooney's got a good roster. The Gilgronis have got a good roster. I think these guys are going to come in with a lot of experience and just make a splash, just like the Free Jacks. So controversial. No one's going to agree with me, but that's why I do this stuff. So we'll see. Hala, you're up.
Yeah, look, I mean, at the moment, my thoughts are going to be from what I know. I don't know too many of the national plays. So obviously my perception on how they play and whatnot doesn't exist. But I'm going to go, I've got two because I knew I'm quite familiar with the roster and I'm just going to come out and say it. I think at number two, San Diego have proven over the years that they're always just going to be, you know, they're going to be in and around that top four, top six sort of placing. What I do like about San Diego is exactly what Cam was saying. I just think that all around they've got just quite a, like a, from 1 to 15, I'm interested to see how their bench works. But I think, yeah, definitely from 1 to 15, probably the most mobile pack rolling around from what I've seen. And again, I'm coming from a very ignorant place right now because I haven't seen any of the other teams. I'm not familiar with their rosters. But I'm going to agree with TJ with that number one, the Giltinis. And I'm going to just say this.
Woo!
You want to know why? It's because they've got the most players fresh from Australia and New Zealand coming over from Super Rugby.
It's okay to be wrong sometimes.
Sorry?
No, Australasian bias.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think, too, one thing that's really big for me is the Smith brothers. What they bring to a forward pack is disgustingly good. They're both mobile. They're both agile. And they're... I'm looking forward to seeing them scrum because they are probably some of the best scrummers that given they get a bit lazy through the game. But they're good in the scrums, and their ball picking from in the mauls and the roughs are second to none. So yeah, I think the Iltinis are definitely right now my favorite. I'm looking forward to seeing all the teams play first round, so then I can get into it a lot more. I do want to say though, with the Giltinis, I'm just bringing up my notes. With the Giltinis, I like how they've added a lot of local backs in their backline. I'm interested to see a couple of them play. One of them is it Kraus? He's a sevens player, I think.
Michael Kraus. Yeah.
He's
a pretty young stud. Burner.
Yeah. I haven't seen him play 15s, and I'm interested to see him play because I really enjoy, like, for his size too, he's got some speed. So that'll be really interesting. But having said that, Andy Ellis, going off what TJ said at halfback, the reason why I was doing this before is because he is the number one shit talker on a rugby field. And even when he's wrong, he's still talking. And you're like, it's okay to be talking shit when you're winning. When you're losing and you're still talking, like, that's when I got to take you seriously.
That's what I mean. It's that confidence. It's that confidence that he exerts all through the team. Everyone will go, if he can talk shit when he's doing everything wrong, I have the confidence to do anything I want to on a field. So, oh, man.
But, yeah, look, guys. Really look, good stuff. I will say that, I'm not too comfortable because I haven't seen these teams play, but definitely after the first round, I'm super looking forward to it, to put on my McJudgy pants and get to judge it.
Well, as soon as
I hesitate to ask this, but can we see what your McJudgy pants look like?
If you head over to my OnlyFans page, I'll show you.
Drop it in the page. We'll check that out. Maybe not, but maybe.
Well, I think definitely after our 100 day challenge of no drinking, once we get to watching rugby again, it's gonna be plenty of drinks and plenty of chat thrown at when we're watching in the live. So it'll be good. All right, James, you got to round it off. Who have you got your three?
Okay, most of the teams I've mentioned have already been mentioned at some stage, and my 3-2-1 looks very similar to TJ's. Honourable mention, I love that we're mentioning the Austin Gilgronis. I think they'll be fun and they'll be very good. A second honourable mention to the Houston Sabercats, who no one's been mentioning and have flown under the radar. But if you do some research on some of their late signings, there's some very good talent. There's a fair bit of continuity, and Paul Healy's a very excellent and experienced head coach. So I don't think they'll crack the top two or three, but if they did, I wouldn't be entirely surprised. For three, I've got Rugby New York, Rooney. For the things you said in terms of they've got absolute class players in some really key positions, Andy Ellis will be very influential. I think Ben Foden's still at fullback. They've got a good tight five. And you're looking for excellent players in the spine in those key positions. And I think Rooney is very experienced and very talented in all the right areas. Second, I've got the San Diego Legion. In addition to having two Cal Poly graduates, which is always a good endorsement of the Legion. We mentioned the back row, great talent. They've got good continuity through the squad. They've been losing high-profile guys like Nonu and adding high-profile guys like Robshaw, but the core of that team has been the same for two or three years, and they've been very successful for those two or three years, and that matters. What I worry about with the Legion is I understand they've got dual head coaches. They've got Zach Test and Scott Murray. Both of them apparently are very good coaches, very highly respected, but I've never seen dual head coaches work. So that's something to keep your eye on. And then my number one is also the LA Giltinis. This might be a bit of Aussie. The entire coaching staff come from the same club, which is 5 minutes down the road. So there's some Aussie bias, but they're hugely talented. They've recruited so well. Something to keep an eye on is that the captain, which is Dave Dennis, has won premierships at every single stop he's gone to. the coach, Darren Coleman, has won premierships at every single stop he's gone to. And that's not a coincidence. Success seems to follow certain players and coaches, and that's not to be underestimated. You mentioned the staff, TJ. Their coaching staff and their off-field staff are both absolutely class and possibly the best and deepest staff in the MLR. And then I also just think they're going to have the best preparation of any of the other teams. I'm hearing from different training camps that they're training in very small pods, and the fly half has never been in the same room as the prop due to COVID protocols. Most of you are aware that the Giltinis have been on a training camp in Maui for about 3 or 4 weeks, and being able to be together and be on the field in an intense environment will probably give them an advantage in terms of preparation. And then just finally, I don't think that they're finished with their roster. There's some pretty strong rumours coming out of the Sydney rugby community that some very high-profile former Wallabies have been spotted training and are in peak condition, are extremely fit and looking ready to play. And that's getting the rumour mill started. So I'm not one to propagate rumours, I'm hearing a lot around Sydney.
Would some of them be between the age of 31 and 35?
Yep.
I think the only challenge with San Diego is going to have the same one, and James, I think your point about LA having continuity together and time together is spot on, but I think to Cam's point, where are these guys going to play? And right now Toronto is going to be relocating to Atlanta. I don't see San Diego and LA being able to host home matches. I think the continuity of San Diego is going to help trump a lot of that, but not being able to play in your own backyard is going to be a real challenge. And you could say the same thing for maybe a team like New York. Obviously have been hit pretty hard with the pandemic here stateside. So I think that's a variable that nobody can really predict, but not having a home field advantage, especially for a brand new team, as much as you do have a lot of talent and a ideal comparatively an ideal preseason camp setup, no home field advantage for a brand new team, I think could be pretty challenging.
I think you're right.
There might
also be teams like some of the Super Rugby AU teams last year spent 4 months on the road. Was it the Melbourne Rebels or the Western Force?
Western Force.
Yeah. So the chat coming out of those teams and the Auckland Warriors in the rugby league, the chat coming out of those teams is that kind of forged a closer bond, and it's like being on a 4 month or a 3 month tour with your mates.
Yeah. No, it can galvanize, no doubt about it. But that's the variable.
It could go either way for sure.
Could also just be a bender. Yeah.
why is it that every time
too long, and it probably turns into a bender.
a couple there's more than double digits on this, so there's quite possibility that there's going to be some interesting stories coming out of that camp. But no, I definitely think a lot of you guys raised some good points. I think what we're going to do is on the next couple of episodes we're going to bring a new segment called Cheeky Punts, which involves some bets. So we're gonna play some wagers down, boys. This isn't going to be just throwing shit to the wall and seeing what sticks. We're gonna put our money where our mouth is, and we're gonna do some actual stuff. So that's what makes it interesting, and that's why I won $170 when I bet on Tom Brady, because IQ's up here. But there you go. Well, all right. I'm very excited for this year's MLR season, as I think it's going to be the best season yet, obviously, by the looks of it. The bonus point will be resurrecting our Major League Rugby segment with the boys from the Rugby Index this year, so be on the lookout for that. If you want the latest news from the MLR, don't forget to follow the Rugby Index on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Yes, they are on Facebook now. I'm glad they are finally, but to stay in the loop.
Joined.
Cam, Walker, do you guys have any final words before I let you go?
Good to be back.
You guys are homers. That's all I've got.
All right, guys. Stay safe. Well, you guys enjoy your Saturday night, and we will talk soon.
Okay. Good to meet you, boys. Take care.
You too, guys. Thank you, guys.
All right, boys. Okay, fellas, so it's just us three now. And our next topic is going to be what's happening in James's backyard, and that is Super Rugby AU. So the Super Rugby AU comp last year was a great success, and it reignited the fire for some great Aussie derbies. I love seeing the Waratahs and Queensland matches. I love seeing the Brumbies go head-to-head with a lot of good quality talent. And we saw the Western Force come back into the fold, so that was really good as well. But there's a lot of questions up in the air for this season. So we're going to answer a few of those questions in our new segment. It's called Tap and Go or Kick for Touch. So the way this works is pretty simple. Each person will pose a question to each person here. So for example, if it's me, I'm going to ask Huller a question, and then I'm going to ask James a question. So if you want to answer your question with more depth or context, you'll say tap and go with the question. Give us your takes. If you think that the question is obvious or stupid to answer and you go, I don't want to even take part in that, you can say I'm going to kick for touch, or as I like to say, kick it in the stands. So that's what we got going on right now. And I'm going to ask actually James the first question. I'm going to put you on the spot, James. And because you are a very well-seasoned coach, I do want to talk about the coaching staff. So Dan McKellar from the Brumbies or Brad Thorne from the Reds, who do you think will have a bigger impact this Super Rugby?
Mate, I think Brad Thorne. Dan McKellar is a great coach and huge respect to him. Brad Thorne is just one of the most inspirational people in the sporting landscape. I think he's kind of so much of it is motivating and preparing mentally for games and throughout the long season. And I think fewer coaches are better than Brad Thorne. And he's also got good technical people around him, and he'll delegate. I forget the name of the attack coach, but he's excellent. Been around Australian rugby for a long time. He's got a very good staff. He's got a good, young, hungry group of players. And I think he's the perfect coach for that team. And I think they'll win.
I definitely can't disagree with you on that one. Is a big shout out to Dan McKellar, because he was the former coach at my rugby club, South Rugby Club. We hate brothers. So, yep.
Sorry, was I supposed to say tap and go? I tapped and went with it.
You didn't even think about it. It was your instincts.
You hit it.
It was your instincts.
Ref brought it back.
Just tap and go. Yeah.
All right. That's all right. We got it.
All right. That was a good one. All right, Hola. So my question is going to be an interesting one. So Rugby Australia has confirmed that penalties and drop goals will be banned in Super Rugby AU during extra time. So this is in order to promote free-flowing rugby. Do you like this move by the ARU, or do you think it was a poor move? Tap and go or kick for touch?
Tap and go. Look, I think it's beneficial for Australian rugby to get used to playing ball in hand, especially when they start playing the Super Rugby Aotearoa teams. I think one thing that's really hurt them, they're relying on kickers in their team, which sort of slows down that ball play. Namely, you look at the Rebels, and then when you can't kick goals, they don't know how to play games. Happened in the Wallabies during the season last year, where they're kicking for goals to win. It doesn't happen, and they don't know how to play. So I think it's going to be a good addition to force some the playmakers at least to really stand up and roll through. And I think overall it's going to be great for Australian rugby to get back to the glory days of, you know, Tim Horan and Daniel Herbert or Jason Little in the centres, where they're just using that ball, swinging it to Ben Tune. Do you know what I mean? I do miss seeing running rugby from the Wallabies, because when they do it, it's really amazing to watch. And I think it's like, I think even 2011 when the Reds beat the Crusaders in the final, that Wallaby team that year was so good, man. They were playing solid running rugby. It was beautiful to watch, and they didn't rely on kicking. And I think the last 5 years, in my personal opinion, they were just playing some really boring rugby because they had too many kickers in that team. I think you need to have, you know, two dedicated kickers, but sometimes you just need some crazy bastards just to run that ball, have some playmakers do some crazy shit, and, you know, do what you got to do. Well, here's the thing, man. I think what's the point in having guys like Vunivalu in your team if you're going to be kicking for goals? It's completely useless. You've got Hunter Baisami, who's one of the best centers to come through Australian rugby in a very long time. and you're not letting him have a playmaker to go like to run off. So I think it's going to be great. And I think, you know what, Australian rugby gets a lot stronger if it comes down to those last those extra minutes. And I think it's going to be really good for running rugby and Australian rugby in general.
I love when you use technical terms like crazy shit. Yeah, like that's a good one.
I'm calling for how it is, bros. I don't know these questions beforehand.
All right, we'll stick with it. And because I asked James the first question, James, you can ask your questions.
Okay. My first question is for Hala. The Western Force went, they didn't win a game last year despite coming close a number of times. I think we all agree that they've recruited pretty well and they'll be competitive and strong. Who will be the first team that loses to the Western Force?
I'm actually worried for a tap and go. I'm worried for the Brumbies being their first game. Yeah. I think that is a very, very – you don't want to play the Western Force first up. They're going to come in ready to go. Last year we spoke about it during the podcast. They were getting – five more games in a season, if they played like a full bit, they were going to start to win some games. Yeah. I really like their team. Yeah. Like we said with the boys earlier, because they galvanized throughout the season because they had to play away from home so much. So I think I'm going to put my money on Western Force pushing the Brumbies. I dare say if they're going to win, it's going to be the first game. And it won't be by much, maybe 3 to 8 points. So yeah. I'm going to say the Brumbies, and that's for new. Like I said, they're going to come out ready to go. And you know what? I hope they start with a winning attitude, like with a win under their belt.
Okay, that's a hot take. I love that. Oh man!
And TJ, for you, mate, who do you think will be the Australian Super Rugby breakthrough player of the year? So who's a young guy right now? A young guy right now is maybe a fringe Wallaby or outside the Wallaby squad, he'll have a big season and push his way in.
Man, so I think everyone's going to think I'm biased on this one, but I'm honestly going to say Andy Muirhead because he's just been ripping it up in this last Super Rugby season. And obviously you've got some great backs in Liam Wright and you've got Tom Banks at fullback and then you've got other guys. But Huller and I have both said it. We think that he's going to be the top try scorer in Super Rugby AU just because he's on such a good trajectory at the moment. You look at how he played last season, where he's come from, how hungry he is to play, and I know him really well. He's raring to go this season, and he's not the kind of guy that gets a contract or gets like the kind of the fame and the fortune and then just lets it all go to his head. He's a guy that he's a grinder. He'll come out, he'll look for the game to make a stamp for himself, and I think so. There's a bunch of other players that I think would be, I guess, the breakout stars, but I think Andy Muirhead is definitely my answer.
Okay. And just Tom Wright, the Brumbies winger, is apparently out for 6 to 8
Tom Wright.
So there might be more.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that is right. Yeah. So because he was starting in, I believe, at least half of the games for the Brumbies. So yeah, that's obviously bad for Tom Wright, but yeah, definitely opportunity for Andy. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Very good.
All right, Holly, you're up.
All right, I've got James up first. James, we've got Super Rugby Australia and Aotearoa comps running concurrently. That's the word I'm looking for, I think.
Great word.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to use big words now that apparently I can't speak technically.
Oh, come on. I wasn't saying that.
When the Aotearoa and the Australian team start clashing against each other, it's a two-part question. Number one, can you see an Australian team taking that out? Number two, if you can, who do you think it will be and why? Or if you can't, which Australian teams do you think will be able to get one over the Kiwi teams?
When we saw this last, I think it was before the virus, and there was like a small sample of about 5 or 6 weeks before the – is that right? Of the last season? Mm-hmm. And the Aussie teams weren't faring well. I think the Waratahs are probably too inexperienced and too young. I don't think they'll really push the top Kiwi sides. The Force probably just lacking a little bit of talent and top end talent to basically push the Kiwi sides. I think the Brumbies play a style of rugby that the Brumbies have had great success. By great success, I mean winning nearly half their matches against Kiwis.
Yep.
But the kind of the style of kick for corner, line out more is difficult, and the Kiwi teams have had some trouble with that. So I think they can beat some Kiwi sides, and they've got history of beating Kiwi sides. But I think the Reds, I think they can possibly win a combined Super Rugby. I think they've got an amazing back line, just Wallabies from 9 to 15 and on the bench. So if they stay healthy and they build some combinations and guys hit form, and there's the Brad Thorne factor, I think they can win everything.
I totally agree. That's awesome.
That's, great pick.
TJ, I want to focus in on the Australian Super Rugby competition right now. From each team, who do you think we should be watching? We're going to exclude the Brumbies right now because you've sort of already answered that question. So from Queensland, New South Wales, the Rebels and the Force, who are you eager to watch this year, and who do you think is going to be the standout for each team?
For the Reds, I'll obviously tap and go with this one because I love throwing this chat. But it's with the Reds, I think we saw some great performances from Paisami and Liam Wright, but I think Tate McDermott is going to be the one to watch in that team. I think he got a lot of experience in the Super Rugby AU competition last year. He got a couple of games with the Wallabies, so he got to be involved in that experience and that high performance area. So I think he's going to be a really great player. For the Waratahs, what's the kid's name with the super long last name? The one that I can't remember, the winger. Nangawase or whatever his last name is, or yes, something like that. I don't know. But I think he's coming off a bit of a small injury, and I believe he's going to rip it up this season. I've been hearing a lot and reading a lot of articles about the Waratahs. They've got obviously a young team, and they're really hungry for it. They've gone into camp and they've said, "Yeah, we're not the most talented, we're not the most experienced, but we've got a great group of lads that I think are going to stay a staple for the next 5 years." So I think he's going to be a really, really good player. I think their forward pack is very talented as well. I couldn't pick one person out of that whole forward pack that's going to be the player that I want to watch, but I think him. He was the last team. It was the Western Force. Man, I want to say Thrush, because he had such a good season last year for the Western Force, because he was just like their pillar. He did so much good play, but I'm thinking Richard Kahui, because he came in a bit late. He's the seasoned vet, but when you gave him opportunity to play ball in hand, that salt and pepper hair, he did a lot of amazing things in that back line. So it was, I think if you give him a full season, they've gone into training camp, give him his last year so he can play some good rugby, because I think he's done after this one. He's been trucking along for a while, but yeah, I think definitely, yeah, I'd say Richard Kahui. And who we got left?
Rebels.
The Rebels. Man. Who's their prop?
From the store. Yeah, he's the man.
Is it Falmasili?
Yeah.
Bro, like I think he came into the season a bit too hot and heavy. He came in with a rugby league mentality and he just wanted to bash everyone. But I think now that he's got a bit more experience under his belt, and he's got a better head on his shoulders from the start of the season to the end of the season, I think he's going to have a better mentality, and I think he's going to come in pretty hot. So those are my picks. That's what I reckon. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And it is Falmasuli, just for the record. Falmasuli.
Okay. Yeah. Man, there's too many players. I can't keep track. We'll end this segment really quickly just to say who we think we got winning this year. So Hala, I'll let you go first. Who you got
from
winning?
From each competition?
So what I want to clarify is I haven't got a full answer from this. Is it Super Rugby? Do they win Super Rugby AU and the top candidates go into the Trans-Tasman competition, or do they just roll in their top candidates and then it's who wins Super Rugby as a collective?
I'm not too sure.
Do you guys know?
I think there's a final series for AU and Aotearoa.
And, yeah, and then they do the trans Tasman. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's two separate competitions. Right. And I think the entire, I think both competitions merge and everyone qualifies.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just go. Who have you got winning Super Rugby AU, Huller?
Queensland.
Of course. James?
Queensland.
Man, I want to pick the Brumbies. I do, but it's got to be the Reds. It's got to be the Reds. It's like it's all Reds. Like I think the youth of the Tars is going to really provide something to the competition. I don't think they're just going to get rolled by a lot of teams.
I disagree. There's going to be one game and they're going to get pumped for.
Pumped in one game, but not all of them.
We'll see.
Yeah, I just think the Reds have got solid form. Like we spoke about previously, the coaching is just it's money. And the Brumbies are looking good this season, but I think the Reds are just going to be hungry from that finals loss. So, yeah, oh man, it's going to be interesting. Stan Sport is going to be the one to watch. We've got the hookup. Thanks, Huller. Appreciate it. So obviously, James, you get to watch it in your backyard, but we'll figure out how we're going to watch it. But let's move in to talking about Across the Ditch, and that's Super Rugby Aotearoa. So the Super Rugby Aotearoa competition was another popular sports competition that arose during the COVID-19 pandemic. And although everyone had a chance to win it in 2021, there is one team I personally want to talk about. So not the Crusaders. I want to talk about the Blues. So the Crusaders won by default last year, but a lot of people are arguing that if the Blues got the opportunity, they would have taken it out. So I somewhat agree with that, because they were looking good coming into the back end of the season. I don't know. It's controversial. But I see them as contenders, but my thoughts on this is I think they might have missed the boat. I think the COVID aspect, and I think their team that they had last year was the winning team. Like, you got guys like Paddy Toops, Caleb Clark, Oteti Black, the Ioane brothers. They've got a lot of talent, but they've lost an integral piece, and that's Beauden Barrett. So I like Stephen Perifetta. I like Zahn Sullivan. They're great players. They played very well in Mitre 10 Cup. They're not Bodie. It's just Bodie just provides a whole different element. Some people will probably disagree with me, but he's Beauden Barrett. He's won World Rugby Player of the Year twice in a row. But at least two times. You look at the teams that they're going up against in the competition as well. You've obviously got the Crusaders, who have won a championship 4 years in a row. I hate that I'm fucking saying that, because I don't want the Crusaders to win anymore. They've got a stacked roster, plus they just added Rennie Ranger and Josh Mackay. So, I mean, they got even better, which I don't even understand how that happens. The Highlanders have some great pieces around them. They've got some young players like Putty Parkinson, who have got great experience under their belt now. And obviously the leadership of Aaron Smith and Ash Dixon. That's going to be great. You know how much I love me some Ash Dixon. And then you've got the Chiefs, coming off one of the worst seasons they've ever had in all the history.
It's the worst season they've ever had. They've never gone through a season without winning.
That doesn't make me depressed at all. Okay, thanks, Ola. I really appreciate that. Yeah, but they're hungry, and they've got a new coach. So I've been hearing from a lot of people in that Chiefs camp, because I've got a few mates that have in the outskirts of that system, and a few people involved in the Waikato landscape. Clayton McMillan knows New Zealand rugby, and he hasn't been coaching overseas for the British Lions. He hasn't been doing other stuff. And I've been getting some from inside sources that the boys are responding very well to Clayton McMillan coming into that role. I think the Blues will crack the top three. Don't predict them winning this season. So, Huller, who you got taken out?
I completely disagree. I think the Blues are going to win this year. Look, taking nothing away from the player that Beauden Barrett is. Beauden Barrett had a terrible rugby season last year. I thought he was underwhelming, both at club level and for the All Blacks. When you compare it to how and what we're used to seeing, and that is a two-time player of the year. I think what the Blues put together, which is what they've lacked for like solid 10 years, is continuity and trust within the forward pack and clean delivery to the back line. Beauden Barrett did not provide that. Beauden Barrett provided an expertise out the back and a bit of finesse. I like Oteti Black as a fly half. I think he's very fast. I think he makes very good calls, whether to keep the ball in play, kick the ball out, or where to deliver it. And I think his organizational skills are really good. And I think comparatively to the other fly halves outside maybe Richie Mo'unga, I think his control while kicking the ball is insane. I think the Blues this year are really going to contribute to the whole competition just like they did last year really well. I think what we're going to see this year is guys like Tuipulotu, the Ioane brothers, really stand up this year and really take that team, put it on their back. Sort of like how we used to see back in the day, like in the glory days of when, you know, your Carlos Spencers or your Walter Littles and whatnot, when, you know, we used to come through.
Yeah, it's tough trying to think of quality Blues players, eh?
Hey. But I think you're a little bit off the mark in regards to the Crusaders. I think Rennie Ranger has only just come in because of injuries. And I think I look at that as a negative. If you have to get Rennie Ranger to come into your squad and that's your go-to guy, that means to me that they're struggling with depth. And that's something that I think the Auckland Blues are definitely not struggling with.
They're his go-to guy. He can definitely put in a piece and play center for them, and they've got outside backs. I 100% agree with that. He's not the focal point of the Crusaders, but I think he can definitely provide something towards that back line if he comes off the bench.
Yeah, I think he's a quality player. I can't see two things. I can't see the Highlanders winning 50% of their games. I just think they're really lacking that killer punch that they've had for so long. And two, I think the Hurricanes finish one or two, but it'll be interesting to see them in the finals. They're struggling with their lineouts, which is surprising, and they're just lucky they've got Sevier in that forward pack. This is where I think
the Canes are going to – you're going to go one or two?
I think the Canes are going one or two. Yep. And I think the Blues are one or two with them. Yeah. I think Crusaders finished third. They'll have they're going to play smart rugby, have a good solid season. They're going to run through their players this year. I think we're going to see a lot more of their squad this year. But then come finals, you know, you're going to have your 22, 23 there, and will be interesting. But my picks for the Blues to take it out this year, I can't see them losing momentum from last year. And I do really like what I saw last year was of all the teams, they're the ones that improved the most. You can't get that improvement and lose it. This is exactly what with any team that's come through. Once that improvement's happened, and they got and they haven't won. Had they won, I'd probably be feeling a little different this year. They didn't win, and I think that they're going to be out for blood this year as well.
All right. Well, man. Okay. Well, yeah. Completely different directions. I like it. But yeah. They're on banter. I honestly don't think the Hurricanes are going to have a solid shot this year. I think with TJ going and they've got a couple of other injuries at key positions, I think they're definitely going to put on a couple of good matches, but I honestly don't see them coming top three, but that's just me. So yeah, we'll go there. All right, James, who you got?
I'll defer to both of you in terms of expertise on this competition, but I started following it very closely last year and doing my homework before this podcast, and mate, I learned a lot about the Aotearoa competition and the Mitre 10 Cup. And the Crusaders clearly have the best pipeline of talent coming through. And then they've also got high-profile guys who are ready to go. And I've got the odds up at the moment, and they're paying $2.30, so they're pretty short. I'll probably say, if I had to put some money on it, and I probably will, I'd say Crusaders will win. The Blues are very interesting. I think momentum is a big thing in sport, and after a couple of pretty lean seasons, the Blues really had momentum last year in Super Rugby. And then watching the Mitre 10 Cup, which is a lot of the Blues team minus the top end talent with some new guys coming through, I was very impressed by not just the talent but the way they played their rugby. And the Blues were spectacular, especially with the ball. So I think if some of these guys step up to Super Rugby level, they've got some really good talent coming through, and clearly the Auckland systems are good up until kind of wherever this falls apart and they lose their talent elsewhere. So the Blues are paying $4.50, their second favourites. So I might put a few dollars on them also.
Jack a sneaky hunty, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Crusaders Blues final though.
I'd love to see that. Unfinished business.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think I can argue against the Crusaders Blues final. Obviously, I'd want to see the Chiefs in there, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I honestly reckon this isn't my Chiefs bias. I think the Chiefs are at least going to crack top three. I see it. I'm envisioning it. I'm sending it out into the universe. No one agrees with me except Chiefs fans. But yeah,
I'm a Chiefs fan. I want them there. I just can't see it happening.
I've got them top five.
All right, so.
My man.
Oh, man. If they go wooden spoon again, I'm probably.
If they go wooden spoon, I will run around somewhere in Los Angeles butt naked.
Okay. All right. No, you have heard that live on the first bonus point episode for 2021. Okay. That is written in stone. Thank you very much, Hala. Now I hope the Chiefs go wooden spoon. Okay. Awesome. Well, no, James, I 100% agree with you. It's the Auckland system definitely feeding into that Blues side, and they do have a lot of talent. I will not disagree with that, but I think with a lot of newer players coming into that side and I think Zane Sullivan's just going to be the catalyst. He's definitely going to be a talented player in the next few years when it comes to playing Super Rugby. But I saw it in the back end of the Mitre 10 Cup season. When he gets put under pressure, he cracks. So I'd be interested to see what happens with him. But yeah, super excited to see Super Rugby Aotearoa come back and AU come back. It's going to be very interesting.
I'm so excited to see the two teams, the New Kiwi and Australian teams play, man. I really did
Mate,
miss
I've it. Been, yeah, I've and been think, missing it too.
And I think they've got the old school Friday night where the Kiwi game is played first.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The Kiwi game at 5:30 and then the Aussie game at 7:30.
I really enjoyed those afternoon games that they had during the season last year. The afternoon games were amazing. Sitting down, having a meat pie, enjoying a good schooner of beer, watching rugby on the hill. Mm. Oh man, I miss
it. You know what's gonna be great too is like just being able to hear the crowds, just to see that rugby atmosphere again. Like it's such a great thing for fans, for both teams, you know what I mean, to come back as a force. I do want to say though, Reds do take it out, the whole thing. I really think I like everything that James has said. It's the Brad Thorn magic. I feel for the Reds this year as I do 2011. I just think they've got everyone where they needed to be at for this season in particular.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. All right, we'll leave it there. Super excited for that one, but it's called the bonus point for a reason. And our first bonus point topic for 2021 is all about the British and Irish Lions tour. We're not talking about anything to do with Super Rugby, anything like that, but COVID, like a lot of people, COVID has been laying waste to so many different aspects of life. And I think that gave a lot of people time to daydream. And what we saw happen a lot of the time in social media, especially in the sporting world, is we came up with brilliant ideas of matchups we'd want to see or different types of things we want to happen in the sporting world. And the Lions facing off against a rugby championship 15 is probably one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard in my life. It just sings to me. And so I hope this will happen one day. I really don't think it'll happen ever, but we all thought this was a great idea and we thought we'd share who we think deserves to be in that 15. So bear in mind, controversy coming, especially from me. I don't know who people are going to like about my five, but what we've done is we split it up. So Huller's going to go first. He's going to do the tight five. James is going to do 6 to 10. And I'm going to do 11 through to 15. So Huller, let's go. Who you got?
Wait, can we just say, the best part is none of us know who the others chosen. So
we have no idea.
So collectively, we could be coaches of the year right now with the team that we're about to. Okay. Give me 2 seconds because my laptop's about to die.
Mate, come on. What is this? Charger cable. Why isn't it plugged in?
All right, sorry guys. I've been
unprofessional.
Back. Okay, so I wanna preface this. with I haven't included any South African players because the reason why we're having this discussion is because South Africa can't play the Lions this year. Yeah.
Okay, no. I like that.
I also want to say that I've gone for we're playing the British and Irish Lions and watching the Six Nations. I just want them to be bashed. So I've chosen my. I have chosen a tight five to just be animals. Just the they could look, yeah. Okay, so my props.
I'm so excited for this. I haven't been excited for this. This is amazing. Let's go.
My props. I've got from Australia, Nelly Tupou, and from the All Blacks, Ofa Tuangafasi. The two big reasons are they're just huge units who move off the ball really well. Scrummaging, there could be a bit of a problem there. Well, I'm happy to admit that, especially from Nella's side. But I just think what they bring to the game as props, very mobile, and their ball picking against the British and Irish Lions, I think they'll be really good. I also like their defense off the ruck too, in between the channels, especially at number one. So as a pillar post key, I think they're really good defensively. Hooker, I've gone to Argentina and I've chosen Julian Montoya. I think he's a stellar hooker. Great in the line out, great scrummager. And man, that dude's body height for a guy that big is disgusting. His hits are ridiculous. So I really rate him. And his work ethic's really good on the ball, given he can only really last 55 to 60 minutes. So, like, if that, but I think he's a great hooker. For locks, I've gone with Sam Whitelock from the All Blacks. There's really no reason to say anything more. He's one of the greatest locks of all time. Reliable in the line-out, can read the play really well. And more importantly, defensively read a line-out is what I really like about Sam Whitelock.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yep. And the other one, I've gone back to the Wallabies. I've got Lukan Sakai-Lotto. And the reason why, too, is he's an option, and I'm just going to keep it at option for the line-out. But I think when you play British and Irish Lions, having an extra set of hands in there who's mobile and agile and aggro in that lock will definitely prove helpful. Over to you, James.
Nice one. Okay, I have picked a South African or two. I've started at number six blindside flanker with Khaleesi, the South African captain.
That's very fair. What a player.
The last time we saw him was in the World Cup, and he led his team to a World Cup win and was brilliant and a very good captain. At number seven, I've got Sam Kane.
What?
Sam Kane, he's been a thorn in the side of the Wallabies and a pest all season. That's the highest compliment you can pay a number seven.
I knew if you were throwing out Sam Kane, Hull was going to like hit the roof. He's just been throwing so much chat about him. Man, no, but I stamp of approval that's a great pick. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
And then at number eight, you guys all know how I feel about Pablo Matera. So we've got the 6, 7, and 8 are all their team's captains. So I don't know how we look at that, but Pablo Matera. Obviously, we don't condone his racist tweets, and the bonus point doesn't condone racism at all.
No.
But he made some mistakes, but he's an incredible player and an inspirational leader. So Khaleesi, Sam Kane, and Pablo Matera, they're pretty lethal back row.
That's disgusting, man,
I've been watching a lot of the Stade Francais clips because obviously Paul Emile plays in there, and I just have to watch him, but holy crap, he's just still ripping, man. Like
he's an animal. He's
lights out.
I didn't realize how big he was. He is just a thick, huge human. Do you know what I mean? We didn't need is it Jared Butler? We didn't need him in bloody 300. We needed Pablo.
This is Sparta.
All right, moving on. I've got my 9 and 10, and I decided this isn't just a merit team. This is a team which is trying to trying to win a game against the British and Irish Lions. So I decided you either pick Smith and Mwanga, or you pick De Klerk and Pollard.
Fair.
You've got to have some combinations out of your 9 and 10. And I'm a big Mwanga fan. He's had his – he's probably had some bad moments at test level, and he's not a flawless 10. But I think Aaron Smith is the best 9 in the world. He's one of the best players in the world. And you pick him first, and if you pick him, you pick Mwanga at 10 based on combinations.
That's fair, bro. Ooh. Totally agree.
So somehow I've picked 3 out of 5 All Blacks.
Yeah, you must be hurting. You must be hurting.
0 wallabies.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Look, you know your times are tough when a devout wallaby fan can't choose a wallaby to be in his all-star team to face the British in home.
We've got to win this game.
All three of us can universally agree that we hate the British and Irish Lions. Like, whenever you see them lose, you're like, yes, get them!
the one match where I saw it come to a draw against the All Blacks in that third match, I have never been so angry in my life. And it wasn't even because it was the referee that fucked it up. Like it was 100% the referee, but I did not give two shits about the referee at that point. I was just so pissed that we drew with the British and Irish Lions. I was just sitting there just seeing red.
After that game was, is like none of the players wanted to acknowledge it. They were all just like, fuck.
They were like, what just happened?
Like both teams are like, man, like at least like if I'd rather lose than have a draw.
No, 100%. Oh man. Okay. Great fucking picks. Like I can't poke a stick at any of them, but okay. Number 11. Tough one. It's because there's been a lot of players that I've been seeing that have been killing it in this jersey, but after last year, had to choose Caleb Clark. I had to do it. He just had an outstanding season last year. Couldn't bring myself, like it didn't even enter my brain. I was sitting there going, "Oh, it could be Caleb Clark." Number 12, I think is an interesting one. So I went down a rabbit hole of do I want a playmaking 12 or do I want a 12 that just destroys everything? And I decided I wanted a meter reader. So I chose Nani Laumapi. So I honestly think that if he didn't get hurt, he probably would have been the best 12, at least top 2 for the All Blacks last year. Like I just honestly believe that he's not 100. I will pay. He's not 100% consistent. It's consistency is maybe his problem. But when he does things, holy shit, look out! Like he just kills it. I love it.
That's a wild card, bro. And I'm a big Laumapi fan. That is a big wild card.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was tough, and 13 made it even harder because I wanted to pick either Creel or Orlando from Argentina or from South Africa. But because I know how well ALB can play in the 13 jersey, they're such a good pair. I wanted to do Goodhue, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I had to choose ALB. It's Chiefs loyalty. I know how well he can play in an All Blacks jersey. And Hull, you can shut the fuck up. I don't care. 14 jersey is an interesting one. So I chose a Safa. So because I really wanted to pick Korobidi on this one because I think he played super well. But after choosing a brick wall like Clark, I had to get some agility in a guy with a wicked step. So I went with Cheslin Kolbe. Kolbe, I think he had a great World Cup. I think if he was to play in a rugby championship this year, although the South Africans didn't get an opportunity to train, prepare, that kind of stuff, I still think he would have been an awesome player. So that one's going to be a bit of a wild card. The 15 jersey, everyone's going to hate me for this one because I've been raving about this kid all 2020. And I thought about who could fill this role best. And I didn't think of experience. I didn't think of anything. I couldn't go past Will Jordan. I couldn't do it because he's just been outstanding. A lot of people will make the argument that I could have chose Damian McKenzie, one of the Barrett brothers, a handful of other fullbacks. But I just honestly think this kid is special. I don't care that he only got a few minutes in an All Blacks jersey. That's all he needed. He scored a try on debut with his first touch. He's the future of the All Blacks. The All Blacks' future is bright. I'm loving it. But yeah,
he scored two tries from his first touch.
Yeah, from his first touch.
Yeah, he's exactly. First touch.
The only player in the history of the rugby union. That is an astounding team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I want to hear the chat though. Who would you guys put in the back line?
I'm happy with both wingers and the fullback. I probably would have had some different centers. I think Diolando from the Springboks and the 13 who started in the World Cup final. I can't remember his name, but he opened that game up. And he was
South Africa.
So he opened that game up on the back of a very good tournament. Mate, I don't know. These are all good answers. And I guess if you're trying to win a game, combinations matter. But, mate, I think your centre pairing probably has some holes in it.
Look, I definitely – if La Mappe actually had a season, I think La Mappe this season is going to be amazing. I'm with James on this. I don't think the – I'm happy with everything else. I just think that center pairing would be a little. ALB is good off the bench. I'll give him that. But I just think at test level and then playing the British and Irish Lions, where you're probably playing. And their center pairing would be, you'd have to argue, top five players in their positions too. So I don't know. For me, for mine, to counter the British and Irish Lions, and with Richie Moronga at 10. I dare say play James O'Connor at 12. I think that gives you a lot of reliability. That leaves Richie Moonga. And we said this on the podcast last year. When you've got Richie Moonga and Bowden Barrett in the team, they both can handle a side each, or they can both attack, or one can drop and one can stay. I think James O'Connor now is at a level where he's played, not that he's played because he's played at 12 and 10. I think having someone to rely on actually strengthens him, whether he needs to be the direct center runner or if he needs to be the guy to create the holes or kick or do what he has to do at 12. And at 13, I'd probably have Hunter Bisami right now, just going off form from last year.
I knew it was coming.
And for me, I'm also not picking any South Africans because this is the reason why we're having this discussion, like I said, in the first place. But I would love to see Among at 10 and James O'Connor at 12. That's juicy. With Smith at 9?
Can I ask where this game's been played? Is it a dry track or is it a wet track?
It's perfect conditions. Perfect conditions. Ballymore. Beautiful Brisbane night. Let's go.
Ballymore. not even Suncorp. Just Ballymore.
Ballymore. And after the game, we're allowed to run onto the field with our beers.
Unreal. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, you definitely can't do that at Suncorp. So, yeah, I'll 100% agree with that. That sounds good fun.
We've got one
comment from Rob Hammerschmidt. He's from the Rugby Rant podcast. He says, no love for Artie in the back row.
And you know what? Yes, that James has made the correct call. I think Artie Savert is a selfish player that needs to do too much. I think having James's choices open up a brilliant display of hard running, smart rugby, and you know what? Health essential. The Lions would definitely lose a lot. Let's go 10 to 20% of their ball. I think Artie Sevier in a team like that, I think Artie Sevier is really good when he needs to play good, and he's also works too hard sometimes. Whereas James has chosen three very extremely rugby smart players whose IQ win them games. And it's not because they're working too hard. It's because they're working extremely efficiently and smart.
Yeah. And we've gone for balance in the back row, and that's always important too. And I think we've got some good balance in terms of some height, some on-ball fetches, and some brute muscle.
And just some cheek. Yeah. All the cheeky bastards.
Oh man. All right, guys. Well, hopefully we can pray to the rugby gods, and hopefully we'll see this happen in the future that would be incredible.
So then what's the plan if South Africa can't leave South Africa?
So the bid on the table is Australia's offered to play for them to play in Australia, or they've offered Australia to take the British and Irish Lions tour of this year, and South Africa take next year's. So next in 4 years' time. So Yeah. So that's basically the plan.
The first option there is a good one. South Africa play Lions in Australia. I think the Lions playing this Wallabies team in this part of their cycle is not so good.
No.
Mate, you
but
could
in
fill
4 years.
You could fill a Perth stadium, a Brisbane stadium, and a Sydney stadium with half Brits and half South Africans who are currently based in Australia. So you'd have kind of that parochialism, you'd have great atmosphere. It would feel like half a home game. You'd have a full stadium and it'd be amazing. And there's not many places in the world that can be done. So that would
and
be
then you'll just have Kiwis and Australians booing for both teams to lose. So yeah, that'll be a good one.
You know what? I dare say they'd be booing for the team coming from the Northern Hemisphere more than the other.
I agree with that.
Look, if I was in Australia, I'd be rocking up in a South African jersey. I'd be like, let's go, Bucks.
I'm just picturing one guy rocking up in like an All Blacks jersey or a Wallabies jersey going, draw, just, yeah, hoping that happens. So
the perennial Eagles player.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to finish an episode. Oh, man. Well, episode one of 2021, that's done and dusted. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our first episode and first live stream of the year. We're looking forward to doing many more episodes in 2021. Boys, I'm going to leave it with you. Hala, any final words just before we go?
Hey, it's good to be back. Thanks for tuning in. Boys, it's good to see you. I can't wait to watch this rugby. So much rugby to watch. Yoo!
James?
Yeah, this has been fun, guys. Look forward to episode 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, baby. And up the mighty filth. Souse in your mouth these nuts.
No. Everyone listening, Brothers is a terrible rugby club. Never go play for them. They're awful. I hate them.
Whatever. But worldwide,
fuck
baby.
The filth. Okay. All right. All right, guys. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning into the Bonus Point Podcast. We will catch you next week. Have a good evening.
See you, boys.
See ya.